Welcome back to the Survivor Resource Campaign by the It's On Us podcast. My name is Kenzie Kingerski.
And my name is Abigail Anthus. And today we're going to be talking with Lauren Parker, the Interpersonal Violence Response Coordinator at Clemson University.
This episode is intended to provide an understanding about the resources that the Interpersonal Violence Prevention Office at Clemson University provides, as well as introducing the new position that Lauren Parker holds.
We hope this provides greater understanding of the IVP office, as well as opening up a dialogue about how we can support change on our campus. Feel free to share this episode and make sure to follow It's On Us CU on Instagram.
Hi, welcome to the podcast and thank you so much for being here. Would you mind by starting off introducing yourself?
Absolutely. And first, I wanted to just say how excited I am to be included in this podcast for SAM, but also have the opportunity to share about my new position and this awesome new resource on campus. So my name is Lauren Parker, and I am the new Interpersonal Violence Response Coordinator for Clemson University.
Would you mind explaining some of your previous experience and your education?
Yeah, so I graduated from Clemson back in 2013 with my BA in psychology. And since then, I've worked at local nonprofits in the area. Most recently, I was a victim advocate at the Pickens County Advocacy Center. You spoke with their executive director, Shannon Lambert, for your first couple interviews.
And what exactly brought you to work at Clemson University?
It was great timing and a wonderful opportunity that I felt like I just couldn't pass up the chance to do. With this position, I would get to continue doing what I love, which is working with survivors, but there would be added professional challenges as well as opportunity for personal growth. For example, I've never worked for a university before or exclusively with Clemson students or college students. And this position hasn't been established at Clemson, so we're literally building it from the ground up.
Yeah.
And it's exciting and nerve-wracking to be a part of building something that is as important as this.
Yeah, for sure. That is really exciting.
Would you mind explaining a little bit more about what exactly your position entails or what a day-to-day looks like for you?
In my position, I am responsible for aiding students who identify as victims, survivors, and/or secondary survivors of relationship or sexual violence with crisis response, resources, referrals, and advocacy. Day-to-day might look like providing information and helping access resources, whether it's on or off campus. And those could be related to counseling, emergency housing relocation, academic issues, financial aid. It could also be providing information and advocacy to students as they move through any judicial, medical, or legal processes, or even meeting survivors at related meetings if they needed or wanted me there. Overall, the services that I provide are going to look different for each student because their needs and their wishes are going to be different. But right now, my day-to-day looks a little different than maybe, say, it will look in 8 months or so.
Yeah. Would you say that the day-to-day looks different because of the policy changes that are being made?
Not necessarily. It's more to do with the fact that it's a new position because it consists of working on those foundational necessities like paperwork, policy, procedure, and I just really want to get those put into place to ensure that each student that comes to me is receiving, you know, quality services. We are, as some people like to put it, we are building the plane as we fly. Obviously, I want to make sure that I'm not turning students away, that they are receiving services that they need and resources that they need. But I'm definitely in that starter phase, that foundational phase. And it's so critically important that we get those things put into place to make sure that every student is getting the same quality of care, regardless of what the situation is.
So I understand that you work for the IVP office. Could you explain a little bit about the difference between what the general IVP office does and what your position does specifically?
First, I would just like to clarify that there actually isn't an interpersonal violence prevention office. There is an interpersonal violence response coordinator, and there is an interpersonal violence prevention coordinator, but those are individual positions that are housed under the Office of Advocacy and Success and the Office of Access and Equity. I can, however, speak to the difference between those two positions, which that comes down to the one word difference in our titles, the prevention versus response. The interpersonal violence prevention coordinator, Megan Fallon, is trying to prevent or hinder the violence from occurring in the first place through education as well as awareness. As the response coordinator, I'm addressing an incident that has already taken place. And at that point, we are trying to assist the survivor in accessing resources and information that they feel they need in order to move forward.
Yeah.
However, even though Megan and I are working on two ends of the same spectrum, our positions still need to have that open communication and collaboration so that we're making sure that the students are receiving quality services across the board.
So as for like Title IX, how does your position relate with Title IX?
Title IX is related to my position in that it is a reporting option that I might present to a student if they came to me seeking resources and services that were available on Clemson campus. And if they chose to utilize that resource, I could help them make that initial contact with that office. And then if needed or wanted, I could still support them through that process, even after they make that initial connection.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you so much for clarifying that. So if a student is in need of resources or is not sure what to do, if they have been a survivor or if they're a secondary survivor, how should they get in contact with you in order to receive that support?
If someone is reaching out for specific services right now, I would say that the best way to get in touch is to utilize the CARE Network online reporting form. And that form can be found on the Office of Advocacy and Success homepage under CARE Network. And then once that report is submitted, it is directed to me. But if someone has more generic questions, they can always call my office at 864-656-1136. Or they can send me an email, all lowercase, LMATRAN at clemson.edu. And of course, anyone is more than welcome to stop by my office, 307 Serene Hall.
If someone files a report with that CARE Network, are they required to report through Title IX or CUPD or any of that? Or does that just go to you that they need assistance?
No, that report is going to come to me and I will be the one reaching out to make that initial contact with the student.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. So is there anything that someone that wants to reach out to you, is there anything that they should know before doing that or when reaching out to you specifically?
There's a few things that I would want students to be aware of before reaching out. First, I myself am not a reporting option. And what I mean by that is that I am a resource hub. So my job is to lay out what a student's reporting options are based off of the information provided and then support that student through whatever reporting process they chose to move forward on if they wanted to move forward at all. And then the second thing I would say is that I am not confidential. I am always going to honor a student's privacy based off of policies and practices of the university. However, there are certain circumstances that I am obligated to report directly to or seek assistance from other appropriate campus departments. For example, if the incident involved a weapon or other forms of extreme physical violence, say the incident involves a perpetrator who has been implicated in other sexual violence matters, the incident involved more than one perpetrator, if a student threatens or attempts to commit suicide or otherwise conducts themselves in a way that is a substantial risk of serious bodily harm to themselves. If a student were to threaten grave or bodily harm or death to another person, if there was a campus or community safety threat, if there was a safety concern and it regarded a minor, so someone under the age of 18, and then if the court of law issues a legitimate subpoena for student records, I would be required by law to provide right. that information.
So are these services available just during the school year, or do you also work throughout the summer? And is that only available for students taking summer classes at the university or to anybody enrolled as a student at Clemson? And does it have to be two students involved, or what does that look like?
So I would be working through the summer. This summer might look a little different just because I am going to be on maternity leave starting when this baby decides to come. However, the university is in the process of hiring a part-time position that would be helping to fill any gaps that might come up with me being out. However, the services themselves are still being provided to the students that are taking summer courses okay. or that are enrolled at Clemson University.
Awesome. Great.
Yes, that makes sense. Thank you for explaining that. So would you mind walking us through what the process of making a report would look like if they were doing it through the university or through the IVP office?
Like we kind of discussed before, students wouldn't be making a report through the interpersonal violence prevention position. The student would be making a report through the Office of Access and Equity with the Title IX coordinator, or through the Office of Community and Ethical Standards, and or through CUPD, Clemson University Police Department. Mm-hmm. And then each of those are going to look different and have different processes to move through. But I would assist in making that initial contact, supporting the survivor in ways they need me to or want me to, regardless of which reporting option they chose to take. If they wanted to utilize on-campus reporting options, of course, there is always off-campus reporting options as well. And I would also want to point out that a criminal report can be made simultaneously with a university report. Mm-hmm. And one outcome should not affect the other outcome.
Right.
They are two separate things, but they can take place at the same time.
Okay.
Would you mind explaining a little bit about the difference of why someone report through Title IX versus the Office of Community and Ethical Standards versus police?
I can't speak to why someone may or may not choose any specific reporting option, because at the end of the day, that is a personal choice for their own personal reasons. I can tell you that if a student, depending on what the situation is, if the student doesn't mind the university involvement, they're going to have access to a lot more resources on campus, because we will have the ability to talk to each other, the different departments, and work together to make sure that that student is receiving the best options that they can. I guess it's kind of creating a better safety net as far as on-campus resources, versus if they say, well, I don't want the university involved at all, well, then it's going to be a little bit more difficult. Let's say with a student who is having some academic issues, maybe they've missed class mm-hmm. or something like that. A letter or something coming from the Title IX office is going to hold a lot of weight with a professor. If she sends a letter and says, hey, I'm currently working with this student with no details, could you please allow them to have extra time or yeah. excuse them from class from this day? A professor is a lot more likely to hear that.
Yeah.
Legally speaking, if it's not a Title IX case officially, we can't force a professor to do anything.
Right.
But also keeping in mind that the reporting options that are available to a student may look different depending on the details of the incident. For example, it may not meet the requirement to be considered a Title IX case, but the student could still file a complaint through the Office of Community and Ethical Standards, and they could still make a report through Clemson University Police Department as well.
And the Office of Community and Ethical Standards, that's also through the university, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Awesome.
So moving on to some questions kind of more about supporting change and how students can be effective on our campus to make it a better, safer place. A recent statistic was released stating that there were about 4,385 survivors at Clemson as of 2020, which only included the assaults after the age of 18. And this is about 1/5 of the student population. What advice or things would you say could be done to change this on our campus?
Sadly, based off of my experience working in this field, I would say that I'm not surprised at the high number of survivors that are on campus. Sexual violence is a widespread societal issue, and it doesn't discriminate, and it's incredibly complex in nature. But I definitely feel, as far as change, education, awareness, open communication is going to kind of shift that focus to being trauma-informed and survivor-centered. We should always be empowering the survivor, validating their feelings and experience, and then providing options and resources with that mindset that survivors are experts in their own healing.
So how do you think we can change the narrative from keeping women safe to teaching men to respect women?
Remembering that not all survivors of interpersonal violence are women and not all perpetrators are men, I would maybe instead ask the question, how do we shift all narratives to one of mutual respect, healthy boundaries, and open communication? And that's where I'm going to come, you know, back to education and awareness, because I feel that changing that narrative is really more about changing our current cultural mindset around interpersonal violence and what it is or looks like. And we should be having conversations about what is a healthy relationship, what are healthy boundaries, how do we communicate what those boundaries are to our partner, what is respect, what is empathy, what is consent, what does that look like? And those conversations should really be starting at a much younger age, as well as addressing harmful or inaccurate gender stereotypes, misconceptions and myths surrounding sexual violence.
Right.
Also addressing the often negative stigma about asking for help or just asking questions in general when there's a lack of understanding. But obviously shifting cultural norms and standards is going to take time.
Yeah.
But we have to start somewhere. And I think that that truly is the place to start and where we would start to see that cultural shift.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so important, the idea that this is bigger than just one thing. And obviously, like you said, not all survivors are women, and it is important to talk about that. But I think it's also, even though it can seem like such a huge and overwhelming thing, there are ways that we can create small changes, and those will add up over time. And part of that is having conversations with people that are younger. And part of that is making a shift in our own mind of what we think sexual assault looks like and myths about it. And yeah, I really loved everything you said.
No, absolutely. Definitely looking internally as well.
Yeah.
Because we all have, whether it's conscious or not, we all have stereotypes in our head and ideas of how things should look, or and that aren't necessarily true because they're based off of our own experiences, and my experience is not your experience.
Yeah.
And when we recognize that and are open-minded enough to think that there is another way to look at things, I think that change is easier.
Yeah.
You know, that start is easier.
For sure.
In terms of students on campus, is there anything that we could do to support survivors?
When it comes to supporting survivors on campus, I think the biggest thing someone can do is put into practice that believe, listen, and support messaging that we hear over and over and over again. But from my experience working with survivors, I think it goes a long way to simply say, I believe you.
Yeah.
I'm here for you if and when you want to talk about it. And then how can I best support you through this? Ask them. They are their own experts in what they need to move forward and heal. So simply listening, not asking a lot of questions. I think that that is really, really important. If somebody comes to you, a friend, a roommate, or whoever, and they're saying that something has happened, that's a very difficult conversation to have with someone. So for them to share that is very personal. So believing them, not asking a bunch of questions, listening without judgment, and then supporting them in ways that they're comfortable with and in what they need, because every survivor looks different. Every survivor's needs look different. Every survivor's wants look different. And that can change as well. A survivor may not be ready to report. So supporting that survivor may just be, I'm here for you. And if you want to talk, I'm here to listen. And a couple weeks later, or however long later, that same survivor is going to be like, you know what? I'm ready to report. And then your support might shift to, okay, let's figure out together, or how can I help you move forward in that? But definitely always listening with an empathetic ear.
Yeah. Before we finish, is there anything else that you would want students to know, or anyone who's listening to know, or anything we missed or you'd like to emphasize?
I think just that I'm here for you as a resource if you need me, and I care.
Yeah. Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and we're really excited for this awesome new position that you hold and how it's going to morph in the future to be even more safe and inclusive campus for survivors and students.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope you got a little more insight on what Lauren Parker does in her new position as Interpersonal Response Coordinator at Clemson, and how passionate she is about being an advocate for survivors. This new position is incredibly exciting, but it would not be possible without the tireless efforts of so many students fighting and advocating for this change. If you would like to learn more or get involved, feel free to reach out to us on our Instagram @itsonusc.